Are we about to see round two of global tyranny?
This is all pre-planned by an elite group of people. That's what I'm talking about. Event 201 that occurred in late 2019, prior to the rest of us knowing about this pandemic. This is very concerning in terms of what has happened, what is happening, what continues to be planned for our loss of freedom.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan talks to Twyla Brace of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. We will get a COVID round two update. Are we headed for more tyranny from the globalists and from our nation's leaders? Are people going to go along with government overreach and control one more time? Here is today's programming.
We do have reporters like yourself, like John Solomon, other people that have the courage to report the truth against the mainstream media and against the narrative. But that's the only way this is going to be solved, is we need the truth to be exposed. We need more Americans to listen to the truth, to be exposed to the truth, to pull their heads out of the sand, quite honestly, open up their eyes and understand what is happening in this country. We are going down a very dangerous path, but it's a path that is being laid out and planned by an elite group of people that want to take total control over our lives. And that's what they're doing bit by bit. They do it by increasing massive government spending, increasing the size of government, takeover of the WHO. These amendments that are coming up that are going to be voted on in 2024 on the WHO are frightening, and they really risk taking away all of our sovereignty. People have to awaken to the dangers of the moment.
It's just extraordinary to me that the government was working with social media to amplify lies and suppress truth, and has been doing so repeatedly. We just saw the Facebook story, the Twitter files, all the way government officials from the CDC, the FBI, CIA, 1,000 people, according to the reporters working on the Twitter files, worked with social media to amplify lies and suppress truth. Why couldn't the American people know that there were other alternatives to treat COVID? Why can't the American people know that there were side effects with the vaccine?
This is all pre-planned by an elite group of people. That's what I'm talking about. Event 201 that occurred in late 2019, prior to the rest of us knowing about this pandemic. This is very concerning in terms of what has happened, what is happening, what continues to be planned for our loss of freedom. Again, it needs to be exposed, but unfortunately, there are very few people, even in Congress, that are willing to take a look at this. They all push the vaccine. They don't want to be made aware of the fact that the vaccines might have caused injuries, might have caused death. So many people just simply don't want to admit they were wrong, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure that they're not proven wrong. We're up against a very powerful group of people here, Maria.
And they are loud, the loudest ones in the room on social media. They cancel people. They attack you for trying to search for the truth. And some people get scared, and they don't want to deal with this kind of scrutiny.
Welcome to the program. Say, I'm going to air my previously recorded interview of Twyla Brace, was recorded before the conflict in the Middle East, and since the COVID agenda is still on the table in the near future, I felt we needed to discuss this again. Well, thank you, Senator Ron Johnson, Marita Bartiromo from Fox News. So here we are, fall of 2023, and we're looking back at about 3.5 years of COVID tyranny globally. So if the globalists were indeed hoping for an international crisis, or could I say if they were planning and did plan an international crisis, somebody in the planning stages was very cunning, very insightful, and dare I say, very evil. As a result, they changed the face of the planet, made people fearful, submissive, and compliant. I picked up an article by Leo Homan, just reading a paragraph from what Leo writes. He's an independent investigative journalist. He says, as the establishment gears up for COVID hysteria 2.0, let's not forget what we learned by living through the first version of this atrocity. Going on, he says, so having lived through round one, what will we do with it? The burden lies with us. The ball is in our court. The same cast of characters are eager to throw us all right back into panic mode for another round of mandates, testing protocols, social distancing, lockdowns, and devastating shots. If we comply again, the globalists will finish off the last remnants of free enterprise in our economy and the last vestige of individual freedom in our society. Will we let them do it to us again? Only you can answer that. Well, I did play an intro clip, as I said, of Senator Ron Johnson, and I want to back that up with a short clip of the very respected Dr. Peter McCullough. And in this clip, he's going to again indicate that, as far as he knows, much of the chaos that started in spring of 2020, it was premeditated, it was pre-planned.
Dr. Peter McCullough went on the Joe Rogan Experience and asserted that the pandemic response was being executed before COVID hit the U.S. Let's watch.
So you believe this is a premeditated thing that they were doing? So they realized that in order to get people enthusiastic about taking this vaccine, the best way to do that was to not have a protocol for treatment.
It's not just my idea now. It's completely laid out by the book by Dr. Pam Popper, the book recently published by Peter Bregan, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. I wrote one of the introductions. Dr. Leafleet and Dr. Vladimir Lysenko wrote the other introductions. These books are basically nonfiction. They have 1,000 citations in the Bregan book showing how it was coordinated and planned. Now Bobby Kennedy has his book out, The Real Anthony Fauci, the most mentioned physician in that book. I can tell you that if you want to find the evidence that Moderna was working on the vaccine before the virus ever emanated out of the lab, if you wanted to find the collusions and the operations between the Gates Foundation and Gavi and CEPI and Pfizer and Moderna and the vaccine manufacturers and the Wuhan lab and the National Institutes of Health and Ralph Baric and University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and how all this was organized, if you want to see the Johns Hopkins planning seminar called the SPARS pandemic in 2017, where they had a symposium, people showed up, they wrote up their symposium findings, they published this. It says it's going to be a coronavirus. It's going to be related to MERS and SARS. It's going to come over here to the United States. It's going to shut down cities and frighten people. There's going to be confusion regarding a drug, hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. And we're going to utilize all that in order to railroad the population into mass vaccination. It's laid out in the Johns Hopkins SPARS pandemic training seminar. The only thing they got wrong was the year. They said it was going to be 2025. Instead, it landed a few years early.
Okay, and yet if people like myself use the term plandemic, we are accused of being conspiratorial. Well, I have had regular updates from my in-studio guest this hour, and that would be Twyla Brace of Citizens Council for Health Freedom, and that headquarters out of St. Paul, Minnesota. She also is the author of the book, Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. And Twyla, welcome back into the studio.
I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Let me just throw this at you after all the clips I've played and a short intro that I wanted to set the stage for our hour-long discussion. As you look in a rearview mirror back at the last 3.5 years, did anything surprise you?
The fact of the matter is I knew as of back in 2001 that the public health powers had been given away to governors and to public health commissioners across the country. And I was worried about it back then when it was passing in states. And then as soon as this all happened, I was like, I know where they got the power and this is how they're using it. I think the fact of all the misinformation, the fact that people would actually allow people to die in order to move forward a vaccine campaign, that is probably the biggest surprise to me, the willingness to let people die.
Well, a lot of people, they've accessed your website, they've downloaded materials, and more specifically, I think they've sought you out in the last 3.5 years. Many knew of you before that, but this has brought health to the forefront around the world. This is not a Western problem. It's certainly not an American problem. Around the world, this was launched, as McCullough said, it appears to be pre-planned, as Senator Johnson said. And I don't think many of us could perceive that this kind of evil actually prospers here in the 21st century. And maybe it's just a part of that end time scenario that the Bible warns about. Perilous times is what it calls it.
I think what people have learned now, since they started the organization a very long time ago, over 2 decades, healthcare can be the way that all freedom is taken away.
Exactly.
Because healthcare encompasses your health. And that's people right. are afraid when it comes to their own health. And so they can be taken advantage of. They can be moved into the direction that the purveyors want them to move. And it's easy to do. And so healthcare is a really big deal when it comes to whether you're going to be free or not.
Exactly. And now we have the World Health Organization. And I've featured that on this program a couple of times with Michelle Bachmann, trying to take over global healthcare. And if we have time, I'm going to ask you about that. Twyla, I think what caught me off guard was the fact that the shot, it becomes so controversial. As a matter of fact, let me just play a short clip. This is the Surgeon General from the state of Florida with Sean Hannity commenting on the state of the vaccine, so-called. Maybe we can explain why it may not be a vaccine when we come back.
They were previously under emergency use authorization. Everyone knows that the clinical trials were stopped early. We've learned many new things about safety since that time. You've refuted some of those things during your interviews with other doctors. And at this point, most of them have full approval, but it's really full approval in name only. The safety of these vaccines is just so much worse than any other widely used vaccines.
I'm not a doctor, and I'm not going to play one on radio or television, and I've advised people to do a lot of their own research. But your warning that some of these vaccines for men younger than 40 are outweighed by the dangers, and you talked about a self-controlled case series analysis of men 18 to 39, 84% increase in relative incidence of cardiac-related death after vaccination within 28 days. I keep reading about myocarditis. I'm not a doctor. I keep reading about a higher incidence of blood clotting. I'm not a doctor. I keep reading about other complications. Now, is it from the virus itself? Do you believe it's a combination of certain things? Maybe certain people with certain genetic predispositions are not made for this virus. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I'm asking you. That's a pretty urgent warning that you sent out, and I know you believe it was based on the science, correct?
It's very kind of you, Hannity, to state the fact that you're not a doctor, but it really is okay to believe what your eyes are telling you and what your ears hear from your neighbors. The reality is that these vaccines absolutely increase the risk of cardiac injury, and it's actually way beyond the myocarditis that you hear about. There's even something called subclinical myocarditis, and we were supposed to have data on that by now. But Pfizer got an extension on the data deadline from the FDA, quietly got a 6-month extension on that. So it really is okay to believe what your eyes are telling you, and certainly people are voting that way. I mean, there's very little uptake of the bivalents.
If I offered you and representatives of one of these companies airtime to debate, would you do it?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Okay. It'd be great to get the data, discuss the data that actually shows safety risks but doesn't get any coverage. And we know why it doesn't get any coverage.
Twyla, that was, again, Surgeon General from Florida. Your thoughts?
He's right about so many things there regarding heart damage. And all you have to do is look at the OpenVAERS database, and you can see several things. You can see how much higher the injury rate is. It's so much higher. It's like it's off the charts higher in 21 and 22. In addition to that, if you look particularly at the amount of days from after the vax for death to start, there's a chart from basically zero, like it happens that day, to 28, and it's very high in the first 2 days. Mm-hmm. So there are real reasons to be worried about the shot.
Again, the purpose, folks, of this hour is not to scare anybody. We're simply trying to give an update. I've had Twyla on a half a dozen times since spring of 2020, and I did a couple of programs with Marge Holston, because she felt that a local hospital in the Twin Cities area actually killed her mother. I don't know that one can say it's intentional, but certainly with neglect and some hospital abuse that was going on a couple, 3 years ago. Twyla was a part of that discussion as well. So I've just tried to keep you apprised of the COVID, I want to say hysteria, but it's really facts on the ground. Twyla, where do you think that the injection controversy is going? And first, why don't you quickly tell us, you've done it before, that's okay, why this vaccine isn't a vaccine?
So a vaccine, the former CDC definition, meant that it gave you immunity, and then it defined immunity saying that you could not get the disease. Now we have the CDC, we have all sorts of people agreeing that in fact, when you get the shot, it does not keep you from getting the disease. It does not keep you from spreading it to others. And they claim that you'll just have a less serious case. But the fact of the matter is, the Cleveland Clinic, they studied all their 52,000 healthcare workers, and they discovered that the chance of getting COVID increases the more boosters that you take.
Your advice is don't take any more boosters.
I'm all about vaccine choice, except that I don't think this is really a vaccine. This is a therapeutic, genetic, unproven shot, like the last booster. The booster before this one was tried on 8 mice, and this booster is on 10 mice. And people are going to actually take this shot without any evidence. And people need to know that the messenger RNA, which is now, they think it's modified RNA, which is worse than messenger RNA, but that nobody has any idea exactly how to turn it off once it gets in your body, how long it stays turned on, how long it keeps producing spike protein. And of course, the spike is the toxic part of COVID itself. It is the part that starts the clotting and is part of the clotting that makes COVID a clotting disease. And just the fact that COVID is virtually treatable. We have cheap repurposed drugs. The FLCCC does this entire protocol for COVID that has been so successful. People's lives have been saved all over the world from taking these repurposed drugs. So why take the shot and put yourself at risk?
Well, you're referring to hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Those are the drugs you're recommending.
Those are the primary drugs that are on the FLCCC protocol.
FLCCC stands for?
Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Doctors. They're ICU doctors, pulmonologists, all sorts of experts.
And they can be reached at?
FLCCC.net. And in my quick reference COVID guide, I also have the information for connecting with them there.
And you can get the reference guide at cchfreedom.org. That's Twyla Bray's organization here in the St. Paul, Minnesota area, cchfreedom.org. And then once you're there, look for
the COVID-19 quick reference guide.
I have in front of me an article from Epoch Times. The headline is COVID vaccines casually linked to increased mortality, resulting in 17 million deaths, scientific report. One paragraph. Data suggests COVID-19 vaccines haven't saved lives, but instead have resulted in 17 million deaths and increased all-cause mortality in 17 countries. One more paragraph. The new scientific report challenges the idea that COVID-19 vaccines have prevented deaths after researchers assessed all-cause mortality in 17 countries, found COVID-19 vaccines did not have any beneficial effect on reducing mortality. Instead, researchers found unprecedented peaks, high all-cause mortality in each country, especially among the elderly population when COVID-19 vaccines were deployed, coincided with the rollout of the third and fourth booster doses. Do you want to comment?
I know people have complained that it's not yet peer-reviewed, but it is by four individuals. I think at least two of them have PhDs behind their name. They looked at all these patients in the Southern Hemisphere in these 17 countries on four continents, and they just talk about the fact that they didn't really see any significant decrease in death during the time when COVID was raging before the shots. But then once the shots started, all-cause mortality increased, and then it significantly increased, unprecedented highs once the booster started. A booster is just another dose of the shot. Mm-hmm. So once the third and the fourth booster began, the unprecedented high all-cause mortality was visible.
What's with the 73% of hospitalized, at least seniors, were vaccinated?
Yeah. That's a fact that the CDC, the government, apparently tried to hide. Mm. They knew it for a long time. They knew it in August 2021, that 73% of the senior citizens who were hospitalized were fully vaccinated. And the emails that have been discovered have showed that they themselves were concerned that there were such statistics, all these people who are fully vaccinated still getting COVID and being hospitalized. But they did not tell anyone. And at that point in time, August 2021, 80% of senior citizens were fully vaccinated, and yet 73% of them were in the hospital for COVID.
By the way, folks, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio Twyla Braze. You've heard her a number of times on this program. Article here in front of me, Front Page Magazine. CDC Confessions. Former Center for Disease Control Director Dr. Robert Redfield reveals that the government health bureaucracy tried to quash discussion about the ineffectiveness of the COVID vaccine. And a quote by him here, he says, "I was threatened and ostracized because I proposed another hypothesis. I expected this from politicians. I didn't expect it from science." That's Robert Redfield, who's formerly head of CDC, I believe. He says again, "There was such an attempt to not let anybody get any hint that maybe vaccines weren't foolproof, which of course we now know they have significant limitations." Again, this is Robert Redfield, and one last quote from him. "My position was just to tell the American public the truth. There are side effects to vaccines. Tell them the truth and don't try to package it." In similar style, he says, "I think we should really have confidence and not be afraid to debate the issues that we think are in the public's interest. And just tell the public the truth. Our government is not immune to authoritarian impulse." Now, that's Redfield stating that. Our government is not immune to authoritarian impulse. You want to comment on that, Twyla?
Authoritarian impulse, that defines the public health departments, that defines public health officials as they get more and more surveillance systems on all of us. As you can see, they're the ones that pushed all the tyranny. That was Fauci, that was NIH, all of those folks, that is the authoritarian. And just, you know, what you were talking about, the World Health Organization and those pandemic exercises, I looked into that, and there are about 12 pandemic exercises starting in the year 2000. So they started holding these exercises of how and what they were going to do with the public, like how to deal with misinformation, how to get everybody vaccinated, how to deal with parents who didn't want to vaccinate their children, all sorts of things that had to do with lockdowns. They didn't think lockdowns would ever happen because they thought the opposition would be so high. But you know, when you scare people with a virus and then you make it seem like they're going to all die, people will do a lot of things and they will agree to lockdowns. And as you saw, they did. And not only that, but they continue to wear masks to this day.
And I think you feel, as we've talked here ahead of time, I think you feel that there may be a round two coming, but I think you do not feel it's anywhere near the severity of what we went through 2020, 21, 22.
I think it's impossible for them to do it now because even the public health officials, the CDC and others, believe that the American public has lost significant trust in public health, and it's for good reason. And so I like to say, rather than 2.0, I like to say it's 2.0.
Good.
We are not going to say yes to all of this. We're not going to wear our masks. There might be certain situations where you can't get around it because some hospital has gone back to masking, like some of them have. But there are all sorts of store owners who saw how other people lost their livelihood, their businesses, people lost their incomes, people lost their jobs. And it was a $16 trillion expense to the taxpayers. And there's all sorts of governors that have stood up. Governor Tate Reeves, I think is his name, in Mississippi, he put out a statement that said something like, we're not going to follow mandates and we're not going to follow COVID rules. We're going to go to church. We're going to play on playgrounds. We're going to do grocery shopping, whatever it was. He said, we're going to do that. We're not going to be locked down.
We have people like Dr. Scott Atlas who's sticking up for the kids because they're trying to push everybody over 6 months to have this injection. Let's just play Dr. Atlas. And you had him at your banquet maybe 3 years ago or so. I love the way he communicates.
Rite Aid is saying, Paul, come in for your next round of booster shots. And I kind of just deleted it. I think a lot of people are just done, but the administration isn't. Could you talk about that a little bit?
We have a continuation of really, I don't know if we've elected the dumbest people in the country to be in charge or what's happening here, but we have a country that now recommends a booster for everyone over 6 months of age, an experimental drug for a virus, particularly children have no serious risk from who are healthy. This is a virus that has lost a lot of its lethality anyway. The overwhelming majority of people have long-term immunological protection from previous infection. And these drugs are issued, think about it this way. They were issued just now under an emergency use authorization. There's no public health emergency. So this just makes zero sense. And people don't understand how these drugs were evaluated, by the way, the two companies with these new so-called vaccines. One of them was never tested in any humans, just mice. The other one was tested without any clinical response data that a normal vaccine would be tested with. It was only assessed on the basis of a blood test with elevated antibodies. That may or may not correlate with protection against a serious illness. I'm not sure this will ever end by top down. It will only end by people having a brain, doing some critical thinking here. This stuff is not that complicated. It's really common sense. Paul, I just want to say something else. Our peer nations in Western Europe, most of them don't even recommend these vaccines for people under 20. And that's been the situation for almost 2 years now.
Well, let me interrupt you there, sir.
Other countries, Western countries, don't recommend that people under 20 take these vaccines. We're one of the only countries. This is really a disgrace and a frightening one at that.
On that front, Alex Burson, I'm sure you follow on Twitter, he was quoting the CDC's government's own data here. He said 1 million mRNA COVID shots for teens will prevent 0 to 1 COVID deaths and cause between 100 and 200,000 severe side effects. This is the government numbers.
Paul, we have to be serious people here. When you're a parent, you have a child, your job is to protect your child. I don't care what these people that are bureaucrats say, it is nonsense. We really have to look at these numbers, look at the studies, look at the data, use your brain. I don't know what else to say. It's frightening. It's very sad that these people have power still. Again, I've said it before, Paul, but we have to vote these people out. We have to have people come in charge who can put in clean house. The bureaucrats at the CDC, the NIH, and the FDA have really harmed our country. They have massive conflicts of interest. They're not thinking people. This is not very complicated, yet they're still in charge. And almost all the governors who ran for re-election, like I said last time on your show, in 2022, the voters re-elected them. So at some point, you get what you deserve. We have another election coming up, but we also have to have a brain. We need smart, good, critical thinking parents to stand up to this and protect their children.
Twyla, you're very familiar with Dr. Scott Atlas. My understanding is up to 50% of parents are saying no to injecting their kids.
Yes, so Kaiser Family Foundation News, KFF, they did a poll. And they found that more than half of parents in every age group, so in the very young, in the middle, and in the older child, teenagers, in all of those groups, more than half of parents said they would absolutely not vaccinate their children. So I think the message is getting out, and the parents, they're mama bears, they're papa bears, they are there to protect their children, and the message is getting out. They're seeing some of these vaccine cases. They're watching young sports guys die. And they're choosing not to do this to their children.
When I come back, I still have a number of issues to talk to my in-studio guest, Twyla Brace, with, and she heads Citizens Council for Health Freedom, cchfreedom.org. And I'd also recommend her book, Big Brother in the Exam Room. Give me the subtitle.
The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records.
How can they get that?
Get that at any online place, so Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and they can look for more information at bigbrotherintheexamroom.com if they want to just take a look.
bigbrotherintheexamroom.com. When I get back, we're going to continue my discussion with Twyla Brace. And again, what is this sudden death syndrome? It's off the chart, as we've already implicated there, first part of the program. We're going to talk about that and some other things, and I'm going to play as an introduction to part two. It's going to be a little soundbite. It's going to be Twyla. She's talking to our good friend Alex Newman. By the way, bringing Alex to Minneapolis next April. We'll give you some warning towards the end of winter and early spring of 2024. So stick with me, folks. Going to be back in just a minute or two.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In the age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. We live in strange and trying times, so we are offering a wonderful way to focus on the things of God. Author Steve Miller has written a powerful daily devotional to inspire us for today and to equip us for tomorrow. One Day Nearer. Daily Devotions in Anticipation of Jesus' Glorious Return is now available in our online store or by calling our office. One Day Nearer is an invitation to let the great truths and promises found in Bible prophecy encourage you as you read the 365 short devotions. The more we take God's prophetic promises to heart, the more we will live each day with an eternal perspective. Visit our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. or call our office Monday through Friday, Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You will be encouraged and inspired as you think about the fact that we're one day nearer to eternity with the Lord.
Because I like to say that the patient is the point of the healthcare system, and if the healthcare system isn't working for the patient, it's not working, and then who is it working for? And right now, today, for the most part, it's working for someone else.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So, if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, and then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now, here are Jan Markell and Twyla Brace to wrap up today's programming.
I believe that the bureaucrats and the left and the Marxists are all moving together in a consolidated way. And they just saw that by using healthcare, they can impose centralized control in a variety of ways. And using the pandemic and constantly putting the public in fear, the public that is fearful is willing to do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. They're willing to give up rights they wouldn't otherwise give up. And they're also willing to come against their neighbors and their family and their friends in ways that they were never able to do and willing to do before. As a matter of fact, I talked to a store owner who said that since the pandemic, she said she can't believe the way people treat her. And they come to her, it's one of these consignment places. And she said, you just wouldn't believe what people act like now. And they're impatient now. And they talk about others and they talk about my staff and they're just rude. And she said it was never that way. And I think that that has been a training that has come out of the pandemic as all the people emerged to try and tell other people how they had to live. And they suddenly got a lease or an ability, a power to do this. And they were empowered to do it by a government who really wanted them to report their neighbors. Really. So that's part of what we started down here. And it's a terrible path for the American people.
Twyla, what's your sense about where Americans are at? I've seen the polls, and from talking to normal people, I do get the sense that a lot of people are very skeptical of the government now. Everybody remembers, I mean, everybody with a brain at least remembers that we were told, if you take this shot, you're not going to get COVID. And then it was, oh, well, you might get it, but it won't be as bad. And well, you are still going to get it. The lies just piled up and piled up. But, you know, now there's efforts to bring about some accountability here. Senator Rand Paul just referred Dr. Fauci for a criminal prosecution for lying to Congress. So, I mean, a lot of this is starting to come out. But what's your sense about where the American people are at? Do you think if they came up with a new and improved fear-mongering exercise, would Americans go along with it again? Or would we see more pushback this time?
I think that we would see more pushback. I think there are people who really do not ever again want to mask their children. They do not ever again want to take their children out of school and have them miss a year or more of real education. They saw the teachers who were not actually educating them well. They learned what was happening in the schools. I think it would be a larger contingent that would say no. It won't be like, let's just wait 15 days to flatten the curve. They'll be like, I'm not flattening no curve. I'm not going there. I'm not going home. I'm staying. There would probably be more lawsuits as more people decided to stand up for their businesses. They saw all the businesses that lost, and some of them were so close to being lost, and they're not going to be willing to do it again. But there will be those who will go along with it, hook, line, and sinker, and they will be there to harangue everybody and to try to get everybody to act the way they want them to act. But I do feel like there will be more pushback if it happens again.
Welcome back. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. In studio, Twyla Brace, Citizens Council for Health Freedom, cchfreedom.org. And we're kind of looking back and looking ahead. And it's hard to know what lies ahead, but certain bureaucrats and the global elite would like to bring back some of the things that transpired in 2020 and 2021. And I guess maybe it's a little bit up to us if we're going to let them do that. And that's one of the things we're discussing this hour. Just a quick reminder that we are off of our most recent Understanding the Times one-night conference back on October the 5th with Pastor Barry Stagner, Mark Henry, and yours truly, in Minneapolis, and we do have a DVD of it in my online store olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. And it's also available at no cost at all. You can view it going to the website and then to video. Wonderful evening we had that night with great attendance. It is all available online. We've posted it to our website, to Rumble, to YouTube, and available on DVD. Twyla, you and I talked before our programming today, and we certainly do not want to have this hour be certainly not intended to scare anybody. At the same time, when you're trying to wake people up, and sometimes the facts on the ground are troubling, to say the least, it can sound scary, it can sound foreboding, and that's the last thing we want to do is have someone look at the radio or the computer and say, why would I ever want to follow either one of these two women, because they're bearers of doom and gloom. Not so.
Not so. Because we are both believers, and yes, because your listening audience are believers, the one thing that I would say, and I always get to when even I look at some of this and go, okay, it is scary what they tried to do, what they succeeded in doing, the people who are still suffering, it is a very scary thing. However, the fact of the matter is we all know who's in charge. It is not us. It's God Almighty.
Amen.
And so, as I mentioned to you before, I think we have to set aside the fear impulse. And we must pick up the faith impulse. Because that's the only way that we can live. We're not going to die before God says we're going to die. And we're not going to get whatever unless God permits it to happen. And so figuring out that he's in charge is a calming that everyone should grasp.
Amen. First part of the program, we did reference long COVID. I think I even indicated there are some listeners who may be wondering if current symptoms are indicating long COVID. What should they do and what should they look for? Just a quick overview here because I don't want to leave those folks dangling.
Long COVID, there are some so-called official definitions, but there's a lot of fudging room in there. Nobody really has an agreed upon definition. So the symptoms of long COVID tend to be 4 to 8 weeks. They continue after you've had COVID. And for some people, they've had long COVID for 6 months and then they're all good. But some people have had it for like 3 years. And the interesting thing is treating long COVID and treating the COVID shot injuries are very similar. If you go to the flccc.net, they will actually give you the same protocol for long COVID versus a vaccine injury. And I think people who are really dealing with something have got to find doctors. Well, they can go to FLCCC and do what they can there. But if that doesn't work using those protocols and getting those medications like ivermectin, you might have to get it from India or Mexico. Then you'll need to find a doctor who's actually willing to deal with long COVID. A lot of that will happen by telehealth. It may not be in your community. You'll have to go to telehealth like the James Clinic or Pierre Corey MD, or there's a variety of them around the country, and you can find some of them at the Wedge of Health Freedom, which is jointhewedge.com, which is our online directory of cash-based practices. Long COVID has a variety of symptoms. It can affect any organ. Some people say there's no such thing as long COVID, but for those who are suffering with things that they've never, ever had before, and it only happened from COVID, it's serious. It may not affect you in a really serious way, but it's a chronic problem. And I've also talked to doctors who aren't COVID doctors per se, but they've now started to realize that they're seeing things that they've never seen in their entire practice, strange things. Mm. And they too relate it to COVID and COVID's impact, because obviously the spike protein is a toxin. And a lot of people think it's been a created toxin, not just a naturally occurring toxin. So it's had impact on all sorts of organs and organ systems.
Why don't you give just another paragraph on the wedge, because you're trying to get the healthcare system established yourself, some independent doctors, who I think if you all got together, it would be a wonderful type of establishment.
So we're building a parallel system of health freedom across the country, starting with the wedge at jointhewedge.com. Right now, there's around 450 practitioners, and there's 4 cash-based pharmacies. There's 1 cash-based surgery center. There's several dentists. Our organization recently got an email from someone that said, thank you so much. I found a dentist and a doctor on the wedge. We really want to build it. We want to grow it. We have created an animated video that will be out shortly that all of your listeners can look at and then share with their doctors, share with others, because it's important to build this parallel system. So if you think about homeschooling, why did homeschooling happen? Homeschooling happened because parents decided they didn't like what was happening in the public government schools. So they created a parallel system. In order to bring healthcare back to where it needs to be, which is confidential, patient-centered, personalized care, affordable, even charitable, we really have to build this parallel system and start to deplete the other side of the equation, start to draw people, doctors and patients, out of the healthcare systems, out of these big hospitals that are really not working for the patient, but working for themselves.
I want to play just a short clip again, Senator Ron Johnson, then I'm going to take the discussion in this direction. He is having a conversation. This is, again, Maria Bartiromo of Fox News. And you and I have discussed this endlessly because it's such an important aspect to what's happened or hasn't happened in the last 3.5 years. And that's the safe treatment that were scoffed at. Doctors lost their medical license if they tried to refer or prescribe these couple of medicines.
We learned this morning that the FDA is now saying that it's okay to take ivermectin if you have COVID. Senator, I remember talking with you repeatedly during COVID about your upset that they were trying to cancel you because you were talking to doctors to try to find out the right ways to treat COVID without having to get too many boosters and COVID shots. I took ivermectin, and it was hard to do because initially the pharmacist wanted to report my doctor, and I had to, like, it was hard to find my doctor to finally address this and prescribe ivermectin. He did. My COVID was gone in a day when I took ivermectin. And now, 3 years later, the FDA says, oh, yeah, that's fine. Take ivermectin. What?
Marie, you know the doctors I've been dealing with and talking to for years now. They believe that probably hundreds of thousands of Americans lost their lives because they were denied early treatment. And they were denied it because the FDA sabotaged, for example, ivermectin. And they said, come on, y'all, you're not a cow, you're not a horse. This was supposedly horse medicine. No, this was a Nobel Prize-winning medicine that could have saved hundreds of thousands of lives. It did save many, many lives because people, you did have doctors with the courage to and the compassion to actually treat patients using it and putting at risk their medical license.
Backing up what you and I have been talking about, frankly, for 2-3 years, Twyla, again, the safe, effective treatments out there. And doctors lost their medical license to try to get folks to partake in that.
Yes, and I think the FDA has backed off a little bit because they were sued. And as a matter of fact, in August, the court, I think it was the Fifth Court of Appeals, said that their lawsuit could go forward. And you could tell by listening to the judges, it was only like a 49-minute hearing, you could tell by listening to them that they were not taking the FDA's side. They're like, you were practicing medicine, weren't you? You were telling them, don't do it. That's practicing medicine. So this court case is going forward. The FDA tried to just talk about ivermectin for animals, so that was going to save them. Actually, one of the judges said, shouldn't the FDA, once they realized that other courts around the country were using the FDA as the reason why they wouldn't tell a hospital to actually treat the loved one's family with ivermectin, shouldn't the FDA have come out and said, well, we're just talking about horse ivermectin, not human ivermectin. Mm. The FDA said, well, no, no, no. Hospitals are independent and they're intelligent and they're not under our control. And clearly the court didn't agree and said that this lawsuit against the FDA can go forward.
Well, you shared an interesting story with me about a gal from Cameroon. Why don't you share that?
So this is a case study from about 8-9 months ago, maybe a year ago. This 19-year-old woman in Cameroon decided she wanted to commit suicide. And so they found her when she had taken 400 pills in a 500-pill bottle of ivermectin. So she had taken almost 100 times more than her recommended dose. And so she had some gastrointestinal symptoms. She had some neural symptoms. She had some eye symptoms. They took her to the hospital. They treated her for 5 days, mostly with just an IV hydrating her as she dealt with the symptoms. She came out of the hospital and she passed her exam to get into college, and she's now been in college for at least 6 months. So what we're talking about here is a very safe drug. She consumes almost the whole bottle, and what that also says is that in Cameroon, it's so safe that you have bottles of 500 pills.
Very interesting. I know people who struggled just to find a week's supply of ivermectin, had to get it from the four corners of the earth, and then they were often shamed by people who knew they were taking it. Obviously, if we get complete round two, we don't know that we are, but would that be the case, round two? Or can we safely take ivermectin and find it at a local Walgreens?
So you still can't find it at a local Walgreens. It's not that way in this country, but you can still find it from the four corners of the earth where a lot of people are finding it. But there are also mom-and-pop pharmacies.
That's right. You mentioned that.
And then compounding pharmacies will do it. It's really about getting a doctor who will prescribe it. or going to the Four Corners and just prescribing it on your own, because you go to flccc.net and on the protocol, it tells you exactly how much to take for your weight, and you take that according to their protocol, and that's what you should be doing.
What do we do with Dr. Anthony Fauci? Because he won't go off into retirement. He's remaining on the scenes. The emails were discovered, Dr. Fauci's emails, revealing further corruption. There seems to be no end to the corruption of some of the various health agencies that we've been talking about. Very, very disappointing. And again, as you say, Americans have lost faith in these agencies. No wonder. Your thoughts on Anthony Fauci at this late stage of the game?
Well, I just think he keeps digging himself into a hole. The fact of the matter is, truth will come out no matter what. As some people say, it's like a lion. You unleash it and it will roar forth. And so you'll get truth, and he will be found to be the fraud. And not only the fraud, but the corrupt guy who was taking in all this money from these pharmaceutical companies. Moderna had a contract with his division. His division was doing the Moderna COVID research. He's got a royalty forever. I think his children have royalties forever as well. The truth will come out. And every time he says another statement about masks or the shot, he's just digging his hole deeper.
Twyla Brace, and she has been my guest here for the hour, cchfreedom.org. Twyla was listed as one of the 100 most influential people in medicine some years ago now. If you're wondering, well, who am I listening to and why should I put any credibility in what she has to say? You also have a book, and the title of it is Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. And they can find that at
bigbrotherintheexamroom.org.
You were telling me off air that we need to really evaluate our doctors. And boy, is that ever true. And I know most of them are trying to do a good job. Some of them have their limits because of government intrusion, etc. So how do we evaluate our doctors?
There are some questions that you can ask your doctors to try and figure out whether or not the doctor is working for you, or whether the doctor is working for the corporation, or is the doctor working for the health plan or for the government. Some of the things to ask are whether or not they have a value-based contract. So are they being paid more for providing only government-defined or health plan-defined value-based care? There's actually a Blue Cross Blue Shield company in New York that just signed a contract with a Catholic healthcare system where the whole hospital will be given more money if they follow Blue Cross Blue Shield's value-based idea of care. Now, it may not be your idea of care. Mm. You may have no value for you. It could actually be outright rationing of care.
Exactly.
That's one of the things. And then you should ask, to what degree do you follow protocols in the computer? Or do you follow your best advice for me, the patient? Who controls what kind of decisions you make for me? And then if they're pushing a shot on you, you can say, is this part of the quality measures that you're going to be measured by and that you'll be paid more if you get me to take that shot? So there are all sorts of things like that, or gathering data. Are they okay with you not providing all this data, or is it something that's going to reflect badly on them? So they want you to reveal every last thing about yourself so that they can say, well, I got all the data, so pay me more. So who are they working for and who are they not working for? You want them to be working for you. Their creed, their promise, their goal when they started medical school was to work for you. Everything for the patient, medicine to be ethical, confidential, patient-centered, personalized. Because I like to say that the patient is the point of the healthcare system. And if the healthcare system isn't working for the patient, it's not working. And then who is it working for? And right now, today, for the most part, it's working for someone else. So all sorts of third parties are gathering your data. They actually consider your data more valuable than you. The money that they're going to get to care for you is not half as important as the data that they get and how they can use that. United Health Group, they have a data division in 2017. That division, which doesn't give 1 ounce of medical care, earned $8.1 billion just from the data. So asking your doctor, not just thinking because they're a doctor, because they've been to medical school, that they're on your side. It's really important to understand they're under a lot of pressure to actually follow protocols, not to follow the patient's needs.
Medicare runs out of money very soon. What does that mean to my listeners? Many of them are retired.
So Medicare, right now, it's slated to run out of money to become insolvent, which doesn't mean all money, but they'll only be able to pay 80% of their bills in 2031. Now, a few years ago, it was like 2029, and I actually wonder if all those deaths from not treating seniors or from putting seniors back into nursing homes, sick ones with healthy ones, et cetera, leading to all those deaths of senior citizens might have been why it's now solvent until 2031. I don't know that for a fact. But the fact of the matter is the entire government is moving to use Medicare to ration care to patients so that they can keep Medicare viable as long as possible. Because once politicians have to say that Medicare is no longer viable or that Medicare is only going to pay 80% of your bills, politicians don't want that. So they're okay as long as they can say it's viable, even if your care is being rationed away. This is one of the reasons why October 3rd, 2019, we got an executive order from Trump to separate Medicare and Social Security so that people could opt out of Medicare and still get their Social Security.
2019.
However, because of COVID, that rule never went forward, and then Biden rescinded the executive order. But that is still part of our plan. Still a big part of our work is to move forward to make sure people can opt out of Medicare. With the fact that there's going to be 80 million people in Medicare in something like 65 years, maybe 80 million people. Imagine the market for real insurance for 80 million people. So we really have to help the young to get out of Medicare, help them to keep lifelong insurance, to have them have real insurance, which is the kind that pays you. Now, a lot of your people who are in Medicare, they remember the day that the insurance company paid them. And then they use that money to pay the doctor in the hospital, and nobody got in the middle. There were no protocols. There was no reporting to the government. There was nothing. That is the parallel healthcare system that we're going back to. And in the wedge, we envision a day where we will have cash-based hospitals because people will have cash-based coverage, real medical indemnity insurance that pays them, and then they can go pick their hospital, and it should be for all ages.
In the meantime, you do recommend the healthcare sharing organizations.
Yes, healthcare sharing organizations, but I just encourage you to be even careful on that because we've heard some stories with healthcare sharing organizations. I personally like the Samaritan Ministries model. The Samaritan Ministries model means you actually pay the person that is sick. You send your check to them. You can send a nice card along with your check, but that means that Samaritan Ministries is not keeping most of the money. Some of the other organizations that I've heard stories about, they have the person who are members send their checks to the organization, and then the organization pays the bills, but then sometimes the organization doesn't pay the bills or doesn't pay the full bills. And that is not where we want to be. That's why I like the Samaritan Ministries version of healthcare sharing, because you're never caught with the organization not paying the bills because you are paying the person who's sick every time. And so then it's a cash-based system.
You can learn a lot more and sign up for Twyla Brace's e-newsletter at cchfreedom.org, the e-newsletter. And then, Twyla, you put out a tremendous hard copy magazine. I have it here. Can they sign up for that on your website or how?
That hard copy magazine, which is called the Health Freedom Watch, can be found online under publications. The only people who get it in hard copy are supporters of our organization. Okay. So if they donate, we're happy to send this 4 times a year. And yes, it's lots of pictures and lots of information.
And some folks just plain like a hard copy. Twyla, we've covered an awful lot, and I'm literally down to a few minutes here. And let me just throw one thought at you. I'm leaving so much out, and we'll just have you come back and do this again in a few months. But digital health passports are on the horizon. I've talked about that almost endlessly. I don't feel I can overkill it because it's going to be the passport, the pathway to the digital society, digital healthcare, digital money, everything digital, World Health Organization taking things over. Your thoughts, and you and I have talked about it before. How much ahead do you feel that is? Year, a couple of years? They discussed it at the United Nations back in September. They're full steam ahead.
They are, because they are full steam control ahead. That's where they're all headed. I think this has crept in to people's lives through convenience. Like, how willing are you to give up your phone or to give up your credit card? Or do you just go onto the patient portal without thinking? So all of this is creeping in little by little, this whole move to digital, and all with a device that you own and hold in your pocket. It's like the government and others are planning to use your device against you. And I actually think that there should be laws, there should be bills to say that nothing, no way, no form can your phone be occupied in any way by the government or by other entities working under contract with the government. Because if we have those kind of laws, then we will stop the digital passport. There'll have to be some completely other mechanism, some other device that you are probably going to want to walk around with two devices, right? So I think it would be good to put laws on the books across the country. And so if you have legislators you know You can encourage them to do that. We're going to make that kind of model legislation on our website at cchfreedom.org. It's not there yet, but it will be coming.
Thank you, Twyla, for coming in today. You know, folks, I came across an interesting article. It was online very recently, and the headline was "When the World is Falling Apart." The article, it was prayers to pray when you feel the world is falling apart. And you know my saying is, not falling apart, things are falling into place. But the delightful article referred to some Bible verses, and I'm going to cite one or two of them here going out of the program. Isaiah 46:4, I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. And that very familiar passage we all love, Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I pray the peace of God holds you up this day, this week, this month, and for that matter, the rest of this year. And I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries in Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. What a privilege to be a part of God's plan for the ages as the players line up on the stage and as God orchestrates everything so that all things can fall into place.